I love having new guests on the show. Robert Curry is his name, and chatted with him a little bit before we're going live here. Really fun. I'm really excited that he is going to present some of these things. He's the author of Common Sense Nation, Unlocking the Forgotten Power of the American Idea, and also a new book, Reclaiming Truth in a Post-Truth World. They talk about that all the time. This is a post-truth world, and these books are very important. He's an extensive writer. He's written on many subjects like this in articles, American Greatness, The American Thinker, the Federalist, Claremont Review of Books, and we have him right here on the Power Hour. Robert Curry, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk about your first book, Common Sense Nation, Unlocking the Forgotten Power of the American Idea. Let's talk about that. Why did you write this book?
Oh, what a wonderful question. Nobody ever asked me that. I was called to write the book. I really was called to do it.
Spiritually,
yes.
Yes.
It was a calling, and I couldn't turn it down. You know, I had to write the book. And so it was the most enjoyable experience, I can't tell you. I worked on the book for 15 years, and 15 years of hanging out with the founders is such a wonderful thing. I mean, they're such good company. And the book, what I've done in there is something so needed and so necessary and so wonderful, really, and I'm not bragging about it. I was, mysteriously successful in writing the book. People ask me, how'd you write such a great book? I said, it's a mystery. Anyway, so what is in that book is what everybody knew, every American knew what's in that book 150 years ago, say. Some wise and learned Americans knew it in depth, but ordinary Americans, a regular guy, regular people, knew what's in there. So there was once upon a time absolutely no need to write that book. Today, the people who put themselves forward as experts on the founders say things about the founders that are would just baffle the founders, because the whole origination of their thinking has been forgotten even by the people who think they're defending them. So that book is about what everybody once knew and therefore what every American needs to know today for America to work.
I knew I would like you. I can't even tell you how many. The first hour of the show, I basically went over. Somebody wrote a letter in about me ranting and raving about the sheriffs and the Constitution. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But I can't tell you how many times I've had discussions with people, police officers or people in government or people whatever, that think they know what the law is, think they know what the founders meant, think they know. And I'm scratching my head. Am I the stupid one, or are they? At some point, I feel like a voice in a wilderness here. They just do not understand what this means. Anyway, your thoughts on any of that?
Well, I mean, I totally understand what you're talking about. See, what's happened is that once upon a time, American education taught Americans how to be Americans, and this is the important part, how to think like an American.
Wow. Okay?
So for more than 100 years now.
How do you think like an American?
With common sense. See, when I have young friends who are going off to the university, here's what I tell them. You're going to like this, I think. I tell them, they're going to try to beat the common sense out of you. Don't let them. So what happens at the university, but also what happens is happening increasingly from K through 12, is that what people are getting is indoctrination in political correctness. Now, political correctness is the opposite of common sense. It's common sense that there's boys and girls, right? What's to find out? Everybody knows there's boys and girls. But the political correctness is, it's not a matter of biological sex. It's a matter of gender identification. So if a boy identifies as a girl, he should get to use the girl's shower. And if a man identifies as a woman, he should be admitted to the woman's shelter. So you see, the political correctness is the defiance of common sense. We can't run the American system, the system designed by the American people, cannot run the founders' design if we abandon common sense. That's why there's a war on common sense.
I'm listening. Keep talking. I'm taking notes. Go ahead. I mean, go anywhere you want
right.
to. I don't even know what to ask you. Go ahead.
Well, what a wonderful, what you're giving me the stage here. I take it.
Well, do you want me, if you want me to narrow it down for you, I can, if that's easier.
No, I'm happy to, let me take a shot at it, okay?
Go ahead.
So the first book, Common Sense Nation, is about understanding the founders' design as they understood it and as all Americans understood it once upon a time, but which has been forgotten. The American idea has been buried now for over 100 years in the world of education. You know, I know you know this, that, you know, Bill Ayers, you know, Obama's friend, you know, used to, he was a terrorist, you know, believed in blowing up police stations and that sort of thing, the kind of thing that's going on in Portland now. But then he made a wise decision, evil, but wise, and he stopped, you know, making bombs and he became a professor of education. So he's taught for years, you know, he taught educators for years and very influential in education. So your local school is teaching things to your children that are what you would find unbelievable if you really knew, if you really paid attention to what they're doing there. So,
well, like,
so
what? Like what?
They're teaching, you know, things like sex education, you know, in kindergarten and first grade and stuff like that, where they push the, you know, the gender identity thing. It's happening in schools all across the country. Cool. The kids are, you know, who are supposed to be there to learn to read and write are being taught, being indoctrinated, you know, from the word go.
I from my research, what I've seen, about 27 states in the United States have adopted some form, some all form, some even further than California. So basically, California was kind of ground zero for this, and it's now morphed into about 27 states. Do you have a similar?
That's about right, I think. And by the way, I live, you know, deep in the belly of the beast here in the California Soviet. So I'm all around me what you're talking about.
Well, what do people say that you talk to? Do they know about this on the street? Do parents know this?
No, they really don't. They're completely distracted. Locally, they're completely distracted by a media that encourages them and whips them up every day to hate Trump. So really, they don't know what's going on. They just, if you poke them, they just start raging about Orange Man bad, you know.
What do you bring this up to people? And if you do, what are people's reactions? If you say, hey, do you know your 4-year-old or 5-year-old is being taught this at school? What do they say?
Well, let me give you a perfect example of it. So one of my wife's friends, you know, came over one day and was very excited to hear that she and other agitators had managed to get the power company to agree to shut down the local power plant. And so my wife said to her, well, I know you're excited about this, but you do know this means we're going to have blackouts, right? And her friend looked at her like she had suddenly started speaking a foreign language. You know, so common sense and you can't break in with the truly indoctrinated. You know, if you bring up some simple common sense observation, like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, you get a look like you hit them over the head or something. Do you know what I mean?
Delusion. It's because, you know, I don't even know if you're a religious person or a biblical believer.
I'm an evangelical Christian, but a Christian under construction. You know, I don't want to.
Well, like
I'm
all
not
of us
bragging
are.
About what a you know yeah. What a
right.
paragon I am.
Well, if I bring up the Bible, then we can at least speak the same language. You know, there's a scripture in, I think it's Isaiah, talking about he's going to bring strong delusion. I mean, it sounds to me like we're under a spell of delusion.
It's really true. I mean, I have a very good friend. Gosh, he's a smart guy. He's my best friend from college and a good person. I mean, I was just absolutely floundering in embryology, and he didn't even know me, and he came up and said, and offered to help me get through. And he carried me across the finish line. You know, I wouldn't have made it without him. And that, we became fast friends. But so he's a very smart person, and he's a very good person and a good father. You know, I want to sing this guy's praises. And yet he's so completely indoctrinated about in the leftist thing that he's one of these people that if you say anything, you know, he just flies off the handle because
like what?
He's
what do you mean?
Threatened.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, he said, well, what good thing has Trump done? And I said, well, gee, my favorite thing he did was a right to try. and told him about that. And then, you know, so now he doesn't even want to talk to me anymore because I had an answer for something that Trump did. Do you know what the right to try is, by the way?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So people, if they're on their deathbed, they can try different experimental things.
Yeah, and before the you know, this is so is this common sense that somebody who's in has a terminal diagnosis should be able to try anything they can get their hands on to help. But the FDA has asserted, not by law, but by regulation, that you can't, that people in that situation cannot do something to save their lives.
Because it may hurt them. Right, it may hurt them.
Unless it's approved by the FDA.
Yeah.
I mean, how un-American is that?
They got 2 weeks to live and it may hurt them. Well, you take that, it may hurt you. We're protecting you. We're going to protect
right.
you.
They're in charge, and that means they're in charge. So, you know, I'd like to say two things about right to try. One, it's just pure common sense, isn't it? And the other thing about it is, it's a perfect expression of the American idea of liberty. We don't have to go to the state for permission to save our life. And if somebody's breaking in your door, you know, you can get in trouble in England if you try to defend yourself. But in America, traditionally, if somebody crashes in your door and you've got a gun and you shoot them down, hey, you're defending your life. You don't have to wait for... You don't have to say, I can't do that. I have to wait for the police to come and help me. You know, it's an American idea of liberty that you should be able to do whatever
you define,
choose.
How would you define
to
that?
Save yourself.
Okay. How would you define the American idea of liberty? How would you find for like somebody from another planet? What is the American idea of liberty?
Don't I just love talking to you? So the American idea of liberty is that our government exists. It says it right in the you know, in the Declaration. The government, the proper role of government is to defend our rights and not to dictate to us about what we do. So that if you define the role of the government as defending our rights, that means, you know, defending us from invaders, defending us from house invasions, defending us from people who cheat us and don't honor their contracts, you know, that kind of stuff. But it isn't about deciding what we can do and what we can say and what we can think. That's totalitarianism, and that's what the left is really all about now.
I don't even like the word left-right. I think it's kind of, it sends a false message in our mind almost. I like up and down. We're either going up.
I like it.
Yeah, we're going up towards liberty or we're going down towards tyranny. I like up or down.
Boy, I think I like the way you talk.
I'm listening to you. You sound like I don't even know what to say. We did not set this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is Robert's own opinion. But a lot of the things you've said, I've said, I don't know, probably 100 times on the show. And it's so refreshing to hear somebody else say it besides myself. So I'm just going to go ahead wherever you want to go. We got about 7 or 8 minutes before the first break. So I don't know where you want to go from here, but just go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, well, I wrote two books for a reason. So there's two ways in which the American idea is under attack. And Common Sense Nation is about the system that the founders designed for us, its inner logic. It's about the ideas that link and really underlay both the Declaration and the Constitution. There's a unifying set of ideas that explain all that stuff, okay?
What are those? I apologize for interrupting, but what are those unifying ideas that lay our foundation?
Oh, man. Well, of course you know, don't you? I mean, it's right there in the Declaration of Independence, isn't it? I mean, the unifying idea is that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So what, if you understand those ideas in depth, you understand the Constitution, because the Constitution was the Declaration was the statement of the ideal, and the Constitution was the incredibly brilliant and amazing design they came up with to carry out that vision. Now, the Declaration that I just read is perfect. And the Constitution is an attempt to realize that perfect idea in this imperfect world. And boy, howdy, did they do a great job. The Constitution as conceived was the most astonishing human act in history. Now, we know that there are things that rank over that. But as far as human wisdom is concerned, it's the winner, hands down.
I've said many times that the greatest moment in mankind's history that we have seen, I mean, we're talking, if you want to exclude the Savior.
Setting aside
that time right there. You're talking about the greatest accomplishment mankind maybe has ever done is the Declaration of Independence. Do you agree with
and
that?
The Constitution, too. And the Constitution. I mean, the pair of them, the Declaration and the Constitution. It took, you know, I love you putting the Declaration at the first position. You know, but it took mankind ages of striving to finally find the people who had the wisdom to write those words
and
the understanding to act on them. Oh, yeah, and the will, too, right? We pledge our lives and fortunes.
Sacred honor. Fortunes.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So there's two parts of the war. One part is to knock over the system. You know, that's they want to get rid of the Electoral College and the Second Amendment and eventually the whole thing. So there's a war on the system of the founders. But the other part is this indoctrination, the idea that we live in a post-truth era, that truth is over. And so the attack on the truth is the attack on the very possibility of us governing ourselves. That's why I wrote the second book, Reclaiming Common Sense, Finding Truth in a Post-Truth World. So, you know, in 2016, the post-truth was the word of the year, according to the Oxford Dictionaries. So as of 2016.
I did not know that. Well, don't gloss over that. Holy cow, I did not know that. Do you want to elaborate on that some? That is so huge, what you just said.
It really is. The idea is that in 2016, the sort of global elite declared that it's happened. We've moved into the post-truth era. And so that's how come post-truth became the word of the year in 2016. And what that means is we live in an era in which truth is out the window. And common sense, which is how you and I know what's true and also what's right and wrong, that's definitely out in the post-truth era, which they declare we now live in, which explains a whole lot of what goes on, by the way, with all the lying in the press and so on.
One of the things that absolutely fascinated me about the Founding Fathers as I began to read their writings, John Adams and Jefferson are really close in a lot of their views, was both of them thought that one of the most important people to ever live was Isaac Newton. And I thought that was fascinating that they regarded him so much. And then I did, at first it meant nothing to me. And then I began to read more. Why did they like Isaac Newton? Because Isaac Newton thought that by observation, by study, and by experimentation, that he could come up with the truth. And so the founders, they took that same attitude that, you know what? You know, forget what the king says. Forget this post-truth idea, basically back then, but forget all this situational morality. We should be able, by examination, experimentation, and what have you, we should be able to observe the truth and come up to a common truth, and that's what's the best for everybody. And that idea seems, like you said, common sense. It seems basic. It seems simple. But really, it was revolutionary beyond revolutionary for police politically at that time.
It's so true. I mean, they were inspired by Newton, because what Newton showed was, just as you said, that we can, that there are truths that are there. See, I mean, think about it. These truths actually existed. They actually are there, ready to be discovered. Before, not known. Discovered, now known by everyone. And that was a revolution in thinking. And, you know, Newton deserves so much credit in so many ways for creating the founders' era. I mean, the founders, you've heard of the Enlightenment era, the era of the Enlightenment. Well, he really kicked that off with those discoveries, with the idea that, hey, you know, we can discover truth about nature, and we can discover truth about human nature, and we can reexamine this whole thing about politics and government in terms of discovered truths. And that's exactly what the founders believed they were doing.
Oh, God, I could listen to you all day. See, that's when the sentence, you know, I've also said the statement about, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that whole sentence, governments are instituted among men to preserve these rights and that they're deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That sentence should drip off of every American's tongue It should be. You should know that before you know your wife's birthday. I mean, that's how important this is. I mean, that's how much this should be like automatic. We've got about a minute and a half. Discuss that, how the importance of just that.
Well, yeah, you know, that is the American idea. And how far we've gotten away from that is reflected in the mess that we're in. If people had that, you know, like emblazoned on their heart and, you know, in the forefront of their thinking, we would be avoiding so many self-inflicted problems that we're bringing on ourselves because you can't operate America if you don't understand the American idea.
Wow. I'm fascinated by, how did you come up, I mean, where did you learn all this? I'm fascinated by this too. Because you can't learn it at school. I mean, where did you come up
with
that?
No, I did not learn it at school. I absolutely didn't. So, you know, there's two words that stand, thank you for the beautiful question, by the way. I love talking with you. So there's two words that stand out in that little famous piece about, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That's self-evident and unalienable. Self-evident. You could say, you know, we hold these truths that all men are created equal and they're endowed with certain rights. But they said self-evident and unalienable. So one day I set out for myself to find out where did those words come from and why did they use them and what did they mean to them. And that opened up everything to me. It just opened a door and I walked in and it was all there.
Well, the break starting in about 15 seconds. On the other side, I'm going to ask you that. Self-evident and unalienable. I like to say unalienable because then the people think of it as a mortgage because that's what the government wants us to do. They want us to lean.
Good for you.
Lean
good for you.
Rights.
That's the source of the word.
Yeah. There we go. There's the music. On the other side, Robert Curry. He's got a couple books. Is there a website where they can get the books more than others?
They're both available at Amazon. And they're both available from Encounter Books.
Encounter Books on Amazon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Reclaiming
Truth.
Encounter is the prestige publisher.
There we go. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Power Hour.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with The Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soils. They receive with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com.
That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your Mammoth food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
ThePowerMall.com. That's a great place to find so many great products. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. That's from me, Uncle Kevin, all my family, everybody from the Power Hour, everything we're doing. That's what we want for you. And that's what we believe that you can have, and we have great products over at the Power Mall to help you do that. Products make a difference. You know, just vitamin C from anywhere makes a difference where you get it from, or oreganol, or, you know, all these type of things from China or where have you. It makes a difference. The Power Mall, we've conglomerated Joyce back 20-plus years now. Some of the best products out there that actually make a difference. The Heart Drops, of course, on sale. You're looking for things for your eyes. The Maxi Focus from Robert Redfern. We do have at the Power Mall a flash sale on REM Sleep, the Tranquil, and Power Silver. And you know about that Power Silver and what's been going on with colloidal silver and the battle on that and freedom to make the choice on that. And I encourage you, I mean, we got a great sale on it. It's fantastic. Get it while you can. I don't know what the future is going to be like and what have you, but you can get it right now. It's legal for us to sell it. I can't say anything about it. It probably does nothing for you at all. So don't assume it's going to do nothing. I don't know what else to tell you. You know some of the things we've dealt with on that. Power Silver, flash sale and all that. The REM Sleep and the Tranquil, all worthwhile products at thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. Robert Curry is a fantastic author. I didn't know we were going to have this conversation. You know, you learn about people. His book did not arrive yet. I don't even have the books in front of me. I am extremely excited to get them. He's going to send them to me. We're going to exchange addresses over. I'm going to send him a copy of our book also. Robert, the book Reclaiming Common Sense, Finding Truth in a Post-Truth World, that's your newest book. Where do you find that book?
And it's available at at Encounter Books. I'm really privileged. Both my books were published by Encounter, which is just a prestige, publishing house. And I don't know, it was kind of miraculous, by the way, that an unknown person like me got published by them. There's a story, has a chain of miracles, to tell you the truth.
When you were writing the book, because this is crazy, but some of your experiences sound similar, so maybe you had a similar experience about writing the book. When I wrote my book, Forever 1776, I would write at night a lot of times. I was the only person up, And I would actually, there were two or three times where I would feel the founder, I would feel people in the room. I didn't see anybody, but I'd feel people in the room and the founders in the room. Did you ever feel anything like that or sense anything?
Like this, never had a chance to talk about this before. Hanging out with the founders, I feel I know them. I feel I know them intimate friends.
Yeah.
And I feel that that their participation is why the books are so good. I know it sounds a little crazy to most people.
No, to me it doesn't sound at all because that's experience I had. Very similar. I mean, not exact, but very, very similar.
And you know, I can talk about that a little bit, I think, in an interesting way. The first book I spent 15 years on, and I, you know, studied and read the founders and hung out with them, and they were with me, and I tried to put my mind with them, and the book took form as a series of revelations. I can describe it like this: it's like a point came and lit up a certain part of their writings for me. So everything in that book, although it took a long time to do, came in a series of instantaneous gifts, if you know what I mean. And so I worked on that for 15 years. The second book was very different. One morning I went to my computer to see if I had any email, and the whole book presented itself to me, the entire book. And I just spent a few days typing it up. The version that exists now is exactly the chapters in order that I saw that morning. I mean, of course, I worked on it and polished it and had an editorial help and things like that, you know. But, I mean, the book that exists came to me as a complete and instantaneous gift one morning. So I can't tell you how privileged I feel, you know, how blessed.
What do you think, if Thomas Jefferson was here today, what do you think he would say?
He would not be happy with what we're doing. I think in a way he wouldn't be surprised. I think he understood.
I agree with you.
Good for you. I think he understood almost better than any of the other founders that we're always just one generation away from losing the American idea. You know, all it takes is one generation not passing it on to the next, and that's what's happened. And I think he always believed that that was a possibility. That's why he founded the University of Virginia. He struggled about, you know, how to design the course of study there, what he could do to guarantee that the truth of the founding would not be lost. And he and Madison, you know, painfully decided that the truth had to fight it out on its own, that they couldn't lock it down. It was an interesting discussion between them. I believe they made the right choice, and they realized the risk that we were running that way. But I think that they made the right choice, painful choice, which meant that we were always going to be one generation away from losing America.
Do you think, or let me put it this way, what do you think he would say how his name has been used concerning slavery?
Well, I mean, it's a crime against the truth. I mean, he understood perfectly well that slavery was completely against their principles. The principles of the founding. He understood that without question. But the problem was how to fix that problem. Not an easy thing, you know. Not an easy thing. I mean, Washington freed all his slaves, but it completely destroyed, you know, one of the great American fortunes. Once the freeing of his slaves, there's a cost involved in freeing slaves. You had to provide for them, and so that they didn't become a burden on the community. And so that cost wiped out his fortune. So, you know, that's how come Mount Vernon fell into, was abandoned. And, you know, it was only much later that American citizens got the money together to resurrect Mount Vernon. By the way, giving every year to Mount Vernon I'm grateful that I have the capacity to give each year something as a token of our infinite And you know, and the thing is that Jefferson just was never had the money to.
Yeah, I don't think people understand.
He died in debt, not with any fortune at all. So he didn't have the capacity to free his slaves.
People don't. It was against the law in Virginia to free a slave if you were in debt, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think people understood that. You know, we went over when he was president. You want to know who ended the slave trade in America? Well, it was Thomas Jefferson with an executive order in 1807.
Exactly right.
I mean, it's
exactly
a joke.
Right.
It's a joke when these people criticize him. It's almost unbelievable. It is so over the top. It is so ridiculous for them to criticize Thomas Jefferson on the issue of slavery that it's just, what other word can you use but ignorant or malicious? I don't know what.
Yeah, it's evil. Yeah, it's evil. I mean, you know, they're trying to. So what is it? See, what's happening in the university now? You know what an iconoclast is? It's a fancy word. But, you know, the crazy back, it's a term from religion where, you know, people would clast, break icons, religious images. So an iconoclast is somebody who's into wrecking things. So what we see right now in the streets of these Antifa and BLM people is they're knocking over, you know, statues of Jefferson and Washington and defacing them and so on. Well, see, that's coming from the fact that iconoclasm, the destruction of icons, is the ruling virtue in academia. So if you take a class in you know, American history or something, you're going to hear from the professor horrible things. What a terrible man Jefferson was, what a terrible man Washington was. And these kids are the victim of this indoctrination that makes them, since they aren't going to be able to write a book and doesn't need to be one written on how terrible Thomas Jefferson is, at least they can go out and knock over the statue.
When I was writing the book I wrote, and I had similar reactions that you had, similar things happened to me. That's crazy. That makes me understand even more, kind of like the time. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. It's like there's an energetic action, a divine energy that is pushing this information forward, and that I felt like I was part of it. And I also felt like the founders, what they thought about my book. I thought they were interested in my book, that they helped guide me in my book, that they were so excited that somebody was writing about their perspective that I felt that I had nailed, at least in part, some of their perspective, and that they were did you have a similar reaction? Did that same kind of situation happen to you?
Yeah, well, if you're crazy, I'm crazy the same way. I mean, you know, you know, they, yes, I had a similar reaction.
I don't even know what, God, this is, I had no idea we were going to have this discussion today. I mean, this is really, because I've really been hesitant to talk too much about this because it almost sounds weird.
But I've never talked about it before.
Didn't you feel like there was almost, like you were part of this divine energy that was trying to push this up to the forefront again or try to revive this?
Yes, that's why I said, you know, when people ask me, how come your book is so good? I say, well, it's mysterious. You know, it's a mystery as opposed to, you know, giving them going into the details you and I have gone into this morning. I mean, I was mysteriously helped. When I was called to write the first book, I must say I tried to dodge the call, you know. So I saw the tremendous responsibility and what it was going to take for me to be able to do it. And so I tried to dodge the call. But so when I finally gave in and started writing the book, what happened was I encountered at every point helping hands, which turned it into being an obligation that I was that made me weak in the knees. It turned it into an experience of being blessed.
Let's talk about the last half hour. The word self-evident and unalienable. We were talking about the origin of these, what these words meant to the founders, where they got these words. Let's talk about that. Self-evident and unalienable.
Oh, God, I love your question. So, you know, unalienable is such a funny word, isn't it? So where did they get that from? Well, you know, if you listen to regular, you know, all the important scholars, they'll tell you that all the ideas, you know, the founders used, all of them came from Locke. Well, you can search through Locke, high and low, and you won't find unalienable, you know. Unalienable, by the way, came from a guy named Francis Hutcheson. a Scottish philosopher, and Hutchison said that we have two kinds of rights: unalienable rights, life and liberty. Those are unalienable. They're part of, you know, of what it means to be a human being. It's in their inherent. And alienable rights, those are our rights to our property. If you look up alienable in your dictionary, the meaning is quite clear. It means, alienable means capable of having a transfer of ownership. So, for example, your right to your car is a real right defended by the government and so on. But it's quite easy to transfer that right to somebody else by selling your car or giving it away. But your right to life and liberty, they're not like that. And so the unalienable distinction comes from a guy named Hutchison. Now, Hutchison was the founder of moral sense philosophy. And if you look, spend any time with Thomas Jefferson, you can find out that was always his home base in terms of philosophy. And Hutchison's student, most important student, the guy who succeeded him at the university and took his position when he died, was a guy named Adam Smith. Now, in 1776, Jefferson wrote the Declaration, and that was about our unalienable rights. And in that same year, Adam Smith wrote The Wealth of Nations, which was a discussion of our alienable rights, our property rights. Isn't that amazing?
It's totally amazing. And I think what people don't understand is how divine property rights were. That if there's property, you know, there's land there, and land and property has zero value until somebody endowed by God puts their talent or their energy into it. And then it has value. Even a peach tree has no value until somebody picks the fruit, harvests it, cans it, whatever. There's no value until the divinity of God that runs through mankind enacts on that property. And so property became part of your endowment. It became part, that's why life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is the extension of your endowment to gain property, to build something, to experience all these things, to direct, to find what happiness means to you, because happiness can't be thrust upon you. You have to decide for yourself. All these things became self-evident.
Right. Yeah, it's so important to understand what this distinction did. I mean, by English law in the colonies, it was legal to have primogeniture and entail. Now, you know, what that meant was, you know, primogeniture, that's the way they had property locked down to keep society fixed, to maintain the status quo in England.
Serfdom, basically.
Yes, that was all that exactly right. So primogeniture meant that you went to the oldest son, and entail meant the ruled where it could go, what relative it could go to. So in other words, those were restrictions on the alienable right of property. Well, Jefferson and Madison went right to work as soon as we got America going. They got to work on that, and we do not have primogeniture or entail in the United States, because the founders understood this idea: life and liberty unalienable, property alienable, and all these restrictions on the alienability of property were un-American, but they were here because of colonial British rule, and it was one of the most important things that the founders did that nobody knows about, that is responsible for the dynamism of the American economy. They created a different idea of property, where property wasn't about maintaining the status quo. It was a dynamic vision of property based on the idea, Hutchison's idea, that property is alienable. And so to lock it down with primogeniture or entail was to violate the nature of property. Isn't that cool?
It's fascinating. I mean, I could go on this. I'm going to tell you a story about my grandfather when I was a young boy. My grandfather, he was born in the early 20s, very early 1920s, and in New Jersey. And so, you know, it's not some religious or even conservative area now, certainly.
Right.
But he told me, he says, "Danny, do you know why America's great? What makes America different?" And I said, "No, Grandpa." And he said, "Because in America, our rights come from God and not man, and man can't take them away." And that meant something to me. I mean, him telling me that, he's a war hero. He had got a presidential citation for World War II. His stories, this imprinted on me. Then he told me something that I didn't realize how profound it was until much later. He said, and they taught me that in school.
Oh, that, okay, I got nothing to add. I mean, that's once upon a time. Kids learned all of this stuff that we're talking about. They knew it. They knew it even if they didn't go very far in school, even if they didn't graduate from high school. And if they went to the university, they got it in depth. When Lord Acton, you know who Lord Acton is, he's the person who said that, you know, power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yep. When Lord Acton visited Harvard in 1853, he found out that the official philosophy of the school was common sense. It was all the philosophy department was made up of these common sense realists who were busy teaching American students who went to Harvard to think like Americans. And by the way, that wasn't only Harvard. It was all of the colleges in America. Princeton and Yale and everybody, and the ones that, and the new ones that were springing up. The philosophy of common sense realism, the philosophy of the founders, was the philosophy of education in America until it was overthrown.
When you say overthrown, what do you think has done it, and what, I mean, I get on my soapbox nonstop. I probably offend half the audience with what I think about public school, but maybe give your two cents. What's your opinion? I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, it started with the progressives, didn't it? I mean, Dewey was a progressive, and he became the most important voice in education, and so it's been now more than 100 years when the progressives have been pounding away at education. You know, Victor Davis Hanson is a person who I know very well. He's on, we're on a first name basis. You know, he calls me Bob and I call him Sir. You know, you know, he told me that you know, his family's lived in the same spot for 100 and so on years. I mean, the same house. You know, and so he told me that his father told him that his father had gotten a better education in the local school than he got. And Hanson has told his kids that he got a better education in the local school than they got. So over that time, from his grandfather to his kids, the family has watched the quality of education decline in the school that serves, you know, their family. And again, his father was a professor, and he's a professor, and so they know a little bit about making these kind of judgments. And it's true in your town too. If your town's been around that long, then that's what's happened to education. You know, my parents, they're your grandfather's age. My parents studied Latin and Greek in high school.
Wow.
Gosh, kids in college.
Well, that was a classical education. A classical education included, Latin and Greek.
Yeah, I mean, they were neither one. My parents, you know, were neither one made fluent in Latin. I mean, they didn't read in those languages, but they studied them in considerable depth, and their command of both of those is better than mine.
I am so convicted. Sometimes I go over the top about this. I am so convicted. Everything you just said, you want the solution for America. The solution for your America is tied up in everything that you have said today. I believe that so. I mean, mix it in with our Creator and respect for our Creator. And that's what our law did, I believe. But
yes,
put that together. You're talking about the solution, the idea of America that will change America and restore us. That's my feeling. What is your feeling?
That's why we were called to write the books. And, you know, I don't know what strategy you use, but I'm both of my books are very short. They're written in a very simple style. There's only one big word in the two books, and I explain what that big word is in the book. And it's written to be read by a 16-year-old or a 66-year-old, and meant to be easy and fun, and mostly by reminding people of what we kind of already know if we just would stop and think about it. So the books are written to be easy because if everybody, all it would take was to fix most of our problems in the country would be some significant part of our population, maybe a third. It was about a third of the people, you know, that supported the American Revolution, best we can guess. So if we had a third of the people today in America who really understood the American idea and supported it, that would be enough, I think, to put us back on track And that would solve most of the problems that are troubling us the most right now.
Sometimes I get emails where people, in fact, I talked about the one letter this morning, where people sometimes they get offended because they feel, oh, you're talking to us like we're children. And I don't mean this in a negative way. I'm not trying to offend people. I believe that in some ways with this knowledge and this understanding, America has been debased to the point of a child in understanding.
And infantilized. Really the point
yes.
of it is to infantilize people. You're absolutely
yes.
right about that. When it comes to politics, you have to start with A, B, C, and 1 plus 1 is 2. I mean, because they've been infantilized, propagandized, indoctrinated, and it's not their fault.
No, and even the people who, you know, are supposed to know this, or you think would know this, or claim to know and really understand American law, they don't. To me, my opinion, they don't.
They don't. You're
Turn that down, right. Todd. Go ahead. Expand on that. We got
you're absolutely right. They don't understand. And, you know, that's how bad the situation is. The defenders of the founders, by and large today, I'm leaving you and me out of this. The defenders of the founders, by and large these days, defend the founders in terms of ideas that would baffle them. The founders wouldn't recognize what the heck these people are talking about, these so-called experts on the founding. That's a big
wow.
part of the problem. If they've been to the same schools, so their minds are scrambled. So
all right,
the hard
we got to run.
For America,
we
got
to run.
Okay,
Reclaiming Common Sense is the book. Finding Truth in a Post-Truth World. Encounter Books, Amazon. Robert Curry is his name. It's an absolute pleasure. Stay there, Robert. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow. Happy, healthy, successful, and free. Thanks for listening to the Power Hour.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.